Welcome to Capital Baptist Church, and welcome to our teaching series entitled Unhooked, Finding Release from Your Addictions. Please take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and please take out the study guide of our message for today, which is in your program. I want to welcome you to this teaching series, as today we talk about how to manage your lifestyle habits. How to manage your lifestyle habits, because if you plan to fail, you truly are going to fail, right? Okay? You gotta have a plan if you're going to deal with your addiction. Today I'm going to give you five things you gotta do every day if you're going to get unhooked. Five things you gotta do to manage your life and your lifestyle habits if you're going to get unhooked. I mean, we're talking about addiction. In this series, we're talking about, you know, what has you hooked? I mean, what has you hooked? I hope by now you pretty much understand clearly what has you hooked. You know, Paul in the Hebrews says it's the sin that most easily besets us. And all of us have a besetting sin, a sin that is particularly difficult for us to deal with in our lives. And we struggle with that addiction. And you know, addiction, it's so important to understand. I mean, it's never been so widespread. And it's never been so accessible. That's the problem today in so many ways. And that is what kind of makes us a little bit different than other previous cultures. I mean, all cultures that forever have dealt with addictive behavior. But man, today, it's all around us. I mean, just go to 7-Eleven. I call 7-Eleven the addiction store, okay? Just, I mean, there's a 7-Eleven on pretty much almost every corner. It's the addiction store, okay? You addicted to sugar? Go to 7-Eleven, okay? You're addicted to alcohol? Go to 7-Eleven, okay? You're addicted to gambling? Go to 7-Eleven. You're addicted to caffeine? Go to 7-Eleven, okay? You're addicted to tobacco? Go to 7-Eleven. I mean, pretty much any addiction, pornography, I mean, hey, 7-Eleven is your place, okay? I mean, it's the addiction store. I mean, and they're all around, aren't they, okay? And I'm not saying it's a sin to go to 7-Eleven, but you ever walked in there and looked around? Man, every addiction I got, I can take care of right here at 7-Eleven. I mean, you know, isn't that incredible? One-stop shop, you know, whatever, okay? You got it all, one place, you know? I mean, computers, it's so accessible to us. All kinds of temptation, you know, is resting in that computer that's right there in front of us. It's huge. It's all around us, you know? And getting unhooked is an inside job, you know? It's all about the inside if you're going to get unhooked. And in this series, we're talking about, you know, what it takes to get unhooked. And we're resting on the promise of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says, "There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man." See, temptation is common to every one of us. Every one of us struggle with addiction. Every one of us struggle with temptation and succumbing to some addiction. But God is faithful. He is a faithful God. He won't allow you to be tempted above that you're able. But listen, with every temptation, He will make, underline this, a way to escape. God will always make a way to escape. God will make a way for you to get unhooked. God will make a way for you to get off the hook. That is the promise of Almighty God. And in this series, we're learning how to find release, how to, listen, make a way to escape. How can we get unhooked? Well, today we're going to talk about how to manage your lifestyle habits. And as I said, if you plan to fail, you plan to fail, right? If you plan to fail, you plan to fail. A big part of getting unhooked is doing the right things in your lifestyle habits every day. And I'm going to give you five today. Five things that all of us addicts need to do every day to get unhooked and stay unhooked. Now, as we begin, let's look at a passage that just really stresses the importance of managing your life. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, as we look at this, I don't have time to dig into this, but you got to think about this church at Corinth. I mean, if you know very much about your Bible, I mean, you know this was one wicked group of people. I mean, they were a hooked people. I mean, I'll be honest with you. If God didn't call them saints, that's what He called them. Blows my mind, okay? I'd call them lost people is what I would call them. I would call them unsaved people. Because I'm telling you, this group of people was committing all kinds of wickedness. They were committing all kinds of sin. And Paul is writing them saying, you got to get unhooked. You got to get unhooked. You're living in sin. You got this sin. Just start in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 5, chapter... I mean, who gets drunk at communion, okay? They got drunk at communion, okay? I mean, this is a kind of, you know, sleeping around with their mothers and their... I mean, it's crazy people, man, you know? Crazy. You know, and what does he say to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 through 27? Here's what he says. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. Now, what's Paul doing? Paul is using an illustration. And the illustration he's using is athletics, and particularly running. Later on, he's going to talk about boxing. Paul was obviously a lover of sports, and I too enjoy sports. And so here he's talking about running, and he says when you're running, and he's taking that analogy and saying, okay, we're running as Christians. And he says, run that you may obtain. In other words, he's saying, man, have a desire to be a winner. Have a desire to be a winner. You ought to desire to win in the Christian life. You ought to have a desire to win in running the race for God, he says. He says, everyone that striveth for the mastery is temperate at all things. What does temperate mean? Temperate means self-controlled. See, athletes, successful athletes, have great self-control. They are able to control themselves. They're able to tell their body what it's going to do and not let their body tell them what it's going to do. Okay? In other words, they have self-control. And the Bible says here that we're to be temperate in all things. We're to bring our lives and we're to manage our lifestyle habits. He says they do it, these athletes do it, to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. You say, what does that mean? Well, just think about it. The Winter Olympics had not been that long ago, right? Just a few weeks ago. And I enjoyed that. I watched that as much as I could. I didn't get to see as much as I wanted to this year, but I just love seeing the skaters fall down. I just get a kick out of that. But anyway, let's move on, okay? Pray for me. I'm just a wicked man. That's all I can tell you, okay? Sorry about that. Get up, okay? But anyway, moving on here. And I love that hockey. Man, I wish USA could have won that hockey. But I was glad for Canada, okay? And I actually got to see that the final part of that, okay? How'd I get on that? Anyway, moving forward here, okay? So what are they about? They're about getting a gold medal, a silver medal, a bronze medal. What's that, a corruptible crown? See, you know, that passes real fast. I mean, most of us can't even remember who got anything, you know. I mean, it's going to pass away, but, you know, it's going to perish. It's going to be corrupted. But the Bible says we're running a race and we're trying to obtain something much bigger and better, and that is an incorruptible crown. To stand before Jesus and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and receive those crowns from Him, that we might honor Him, that is, listen, incorruptible. It will never, never, never pass away. Do you understand? It will never, never pass away. We have so much more. But yet, think about it. Just ask yourself the question. I mean, is somebody in the Olympics more under self-control to obtain a corruptible crown than you an incorruptible crown? Think about all the discipline. Think about all the self-control that it took for them to get that gold medal. But yet, the Bible says we're to have that same kind of ambition, that same type of drive, that we want that crown, that incorruptible crown. And the Bible says that that's going to happen as you run You can't run with uncertainty. Man, when you're running a race, you know where the finish line is. And then he switches over to boxing. He's got two going here in this verse. He's got running and boxing. He says, you're not one that likes beating the air. I mean, when you're fighting, you know, I mean, you're trying to knock that person out. You're trying to punch him in the head, okay? You're not beating the air. You're trying to hit your goal. You're trying to hit your mark. You've got something you're going for, okay? But yet, how often are we running with uncertainty? How often are we just going through life beating the air? He says, Paul says, I keep under my body. I keep under my body. What's he saying? I got to tell my body what it's going to do, not let my body tell me what it's going to do. I got to bring it into subjection. I have to bring my body into subjection. Why? Last week we talked about motivation. Remember that? Many things can motivate us. Here Paul's talking about part of his motivation is, I don't ever want to be a castaway. See, he was motivated to stay in the race. He never wanted to be a preacher who preached, who got into sin, who became a castaway. You know, who wants to be a used to be? I mean, I might not finish. Listen, I may not build the biggest church in the world. I might not be famous or whatever. But I'm telling you, man, I'm going to finish. I'll see you at the finish line, okay? By the grace of God, okay? I'll see you there, okay? I'll see you at the finish line. I do not ever want to be a castaway. I can think of people that would just sat right here in this service. I got nine people going through my mind right now. They're castaways today. They're used to be's. They're has-beens. Don't ever want to be a castaway. Don't ever want to be a castaway. Paul is saying that's part of his motivation. You got to be motivated to get unhooked, as we talked about last week. I bring my body into subjection. And what does that mean? As I write in our notes, you must manage your lifestyle habits and not let them manage you. That's what he's saying. You got to manage your lifestyle habits and not let them manage you. You're letting your addiction manage you. You got to tell your body what it's going to do and not let it keep telling you what it's going to do. 1 Thessalonians 4:4, Paul says, every one of us has got to know how, circle the word how, to possess our vessel, our body in sanctification and honor. Let's talk about how to manage your lifestyle habits. Page 2 of our notes. Now I'm going to give you 5 things every addict needs to do every day. 5 habits. You guys like being blocked off by this hook over here? I see you over there, okay? I bet you're the most wicked people in the church. Y'all sat over there so I couldn't see you, okay? But I can see you, okay? All of us addicts have got to do 5 things every day. You ready? Okay? 5 things you got to do every day to get unhooked. Number 1, you got to have a QT. You say, well, I've been wanting a girlfriend, a QT, for a long time. No, I mean, you got to have a quiet time, okay? You got to have a quiet, I call it a QT, okay? Have a quiet time. Have a quiet time. Now, this is by far the most important one on the list. And I'm going to spend the longest time on this, okay? You gotta have a quiet time, or I like to refer to it in my own mind as my QT time. Now, what are you doing? Well, you are responding to the great invitation that Jesus gave to you. Jesus says to you, come unto me. He is inviting you to come to him. He says, you that labor, you that are heavy laden, you that are addicted, that are carrying this weight around in your life, he says, come to me, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I love that statement. Don't you want to know his rest in your life? Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Learn of me, he tells you. I'm meek, I'm lowly in heart, and here he goes again. You shall find rest unto your souls. You shall find rest unto your souls. He's saying, come into my presence. Come come, he says. Now, there's many ways to apply that invitation, but one of the greatest of all is to have a quiet time. To have a time every day where you spend a quiet time with him. Now, I don't have a legalistic legislation of time to give to you, okay? It might be 5 minutes. It might be 10. It might be 15. It might be a half an hour. It might be an hour. It might be longer. I don't know. But I know you gotta have a quiet time if you're gonna get unhooked. Because I know that if you don't spend time with the Lord, you're going to stay hooked. So you say, well, what do I do? Well, you decide, okay, what you're gonna do as far as, you know, the time, the place, you're gonna get this done. And here's what you do in your quiet time. Number one, you read the Bible. You read the Bible. Now, why is the Bible so important? Because a dusty Bible leads to a dirty life. Do you understand that? A dusty Bible leads to a dirty life. We have to have the Word of God in our lives every day if we're going to live victoriously. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, what is the context of that statement? The context of that statement is Jesus himself is going through temptation. Matthew 4:1-11, Jesus himself is going through temptation. And he's facing the temptation from the devil, and three times Satan comes at him. And the first thing he says to him, the priority, when he's responding to Satan, was he told Satan, Satan, you're not going to get me. And the reason you're not going to get me is I understand this. I know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What's he saying? The word is like nourishment. It's spiritual nourishment to us. Just like you eat bread. If you don't eat food, I mean, you grow weak, right? And if you don't take in the word of God, spiritual food, you will grow weak. You have got to spend time, not just Sunday. It's wonderful you're here, but this is not enough. This is not enough. Every day you're tempted, and every day you need the Word of God. You know, it's like I went to the doctor, and I was so proud of myself. I'd gotten up to exercising three times a week, and I couldn't wait to see my little doctor, my little fellow doctor. He's about the size of my leg, okay? And I was so proud of myself. I remember going and saying, Doctor, I'm exercising three times a week. And I just thought he was going to, you know, just be wonderful. You're doing great. Man, I'm so pleased. You know, let me write that on your chart here. Wow, three times a week. He says to me, he says, you know what? You eat every day. So you know what? You need to exercise every day. He said, I'm going to slap you is what I'm thinking. Okay, you little puny doctor. Okay, how'd you ever get to be a doctor anyway? Okay, so little as you are, okay, you know. You know, and you know what? You say, well, I come to church on Sunday. Wonderful. But you're tempted every day. You're tempted every day, right? So you know what? You need the Bible every day. The Bible says in James 1:22, the purpose of this QT time of reading the Bible is to do the Bible. To be doers of the Word and not just a hearer. You're not just there for information. You're there for transformation. You're there to do. You say, God, speak to me through your word today, that I might obey you, that I might do what your word tells me to do. You gotta spend time reading the Bible. Number two, you gotta pray to God. You gotta pray to God. Now what we got going on here is what's called relationship with God, right? Because what happens is he speaks to us through his word, and we speak to God through prayer. He speaks to us through his word. That's the primary way God will speak to us. And then we get to speak to God through prayer. We get to start talking to God. Now, let me tell you the verse in the Bible that helps me to maintain my prayer life better than any verse. It's Mark 1:35. And here is the deal. This is Jesus. And this is what Jesus was like in his lifestyle habit of a QT. It says, in the morning, he would rise up a great while before day, and he would go out, and he would depart. He would find him a solitary place, a place where there was no distractions. You know what he would do? He would pray. He would pray. You say, well, how does that get you so fired up about making sure you spend time in prayer? Well, I mean, here's the deal. I mean, it's very simple. Do you see it? It's so simple. Don't miss it. I mean, Jesus was God. Do you understand that? Jesus was perfect. Jesus was sinless. Yet He took time to pray. Who am I? Just think about the audacity. Just think about the pride you have to have in your life to think you're better than Jesus. To think that you can go through your day without a QT with Him. Now, I know you can pray and you should pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. But I'm talking about a time where, you know, that's all you do. I mean, where your total attention is on talking to Him. And if Jesus needed to do this, how much more do we need to do this? And you know what it takes? It takes humility. Because you say, well, how do you know if you're humble? The best measurement of humility is your prayer life. The more time you spend in prayer, listen, the more humble you are. The less time you spend in prayer, the more prideful you are. Because when you don't pray, you're saying, okay, I don't need you. I don't need you, God. I got this under control. I got this covered. You know, I'll talk to you later, but not now. No, that's no good, right? Okay. He can't be a spare tire for you, okay? You know, yesterday I had a flat tire. I had to get my spare out. Okay, that's how a lot of us treat God. Okay, you know, oh, I got a flat tire, God. I come help me. You know, that's no way to have a relationship with God. It's about entering to and coming to Him and having a relationship with Him. I'm telling you, if you don't do this, you're never going to get unhooked. Do you understand me? You are never, ever, ever going to get unhooked. You have got to have every day in your life a QT, a quiet time. Number two. Oh, by the way, what do? Hebrews 4:16, you come boldly to Him. You come to the throne of grace. You're there to obtain mercy. You're there to find grace to help in time of need. You go to God and say, God, I'm a sinner, and God, I'm hooked on this stuff here in my life. And God, I need your grace. I need your strength. I need your power in my life. You pray to Him. And then number two, what do? You got to set a goal. You got to set a goal. See, listen, when people get addicted, they have a goal. And their goal is they totally take their life and they build into their life the goal of doing whatever it is. You know, if a person's addicted to cigarettes and every time you smoke a cigarette, you lose 3 minutes off your life. So puff away, but know when you're done, you got 3 less minutes to live, okay? And people have a goal. They figure out, they have a goal of, you know, how can I get this pack of cigarettes done today, you know? They have a goal, right? They have a goal. You got to start developing some new goals. And I like to think of them as dreams. Your goal or goals is your dream list. And I love what was said of Joseph. I love this about Joseph. It says in Genesis 37:19, behold, this dreamer cometh. Behold, this dreamer cometh. You got to start dreaming. Last week I shared a concept with you. Four of you put on your communication guard, your connection guard. You were going to do this, okay? Four of you, okay? So told me that one of your next steps was going to be you were going to do this. Let me tell you what I shared last week. Let me spend a little more time on it and explain it, okay? I heard this guy give a testimony about how he was addicted to marijuana. And he told how basically his life was built around how to get the next joint. That was his life. That was his goal. To make sure he could get stoned. To make sure he could get that pot. Okay, that was what his life was all about. And one of the big things that helped him get unhooked was he got this board, just a simple board. You can go up to CVS and get one for 99 cents or whatever. Okay, just a simple old school. Maybe you're more into technology and you can be creative and come up with some different ideas. But this is old school here, okay? And it worked for him, okay? And what he did was he went out and got a bunch of magazines, okay? Pictures. He was after pictures. He went on the internet, got some of the pictures off the internet. And what he did was he took these pictures and he said, you know, I want to be able to have a decent house. And he got a picture of a house and he put it up there. Because now all his money was going for pot, okay? He had a woman up there, okay? He wanted to have a good wife, okay? You know, he put a picture of that up there. And he put a picture of a job and he put a picture of this, he put a picture of that. He had that whole board just full of dreams. What was he doing? He was setting a goal, right? He was seeing beyond the present. He had ambition going because, again, all he was living for was that next joint. That was all he was living for. And he was dreaming. You got to dream. Every day you got to be setting goals. You got to be setting goals. You know, like one of my goals to help me was I wanted to be able to do a 5K. You know, I wanted to be able to do a 5K. I wanted to be able to at least walk 3.1 miles. That's what a 5K is. And at that time, I could only do 5 minutes on a treadmill, literally. That's what I could do, 5 minutes. Now, that's a long ways from doing a 5K, okay? But I had a dream. And you know what? I said, I want to be able to complete a 5K. And you know what? That really helped me to have a goal in my life. And tonight, Lord willing, at 4:45, I'll be on that front porch and there'll be 20 or 30 people out there. And you know what I'm going to go do? I'm going to do the 5K, okay? A few months, we're going to have our next fourth annual Losing to Live 5K. Father's Day weekend, Saturday, okay, will be our Losing to Live 5K. See, it was a goal for me. You know, my life at that time was 5 minutes on a treadmill. But I had a goal. I had something out there I wanted to do with my life. I had something I wanted to do. What do you want to do with your life? Every day, you got to dream of a better life. Every day, you got to dream of something beyond your life today. Your goal is a statement of faith. In God, you're saying to God, God, this is my statement of faith. It's a vision for a healthier future, not just physical health. That word healthier is not just, I'm talking about mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, financial health. A healthier, a more wholesome life is available to you. Jesus said, have faith in God and say to that mountain, be removed. Hey, say to that mountain, hey, You're toast. I'm removing you, okay, out of my life. It's a statement of faith. It's a statement of a vision for a healthier future. Page 3, make sure your goal is 3 things. Number 1, specific. It's got to be specific. You understand? It's got to be achievable. It's got to be something that's, if you will, realistic, okay? But don't forget to put God in your realistic, okay? And then M, it's got to be measurable. Make your goal specific. Make your goal achievable. Make your goal measurable. Habakkuk 2:2 says, write that vision. And here's the key part for this statement here. Make it plain. Make it specific. Make it achievable. Make it measurable. So when you're running, you can read it. So you can see it. Number 2, set a goal. Number 3, develop a plan. Develop a plan. You know, you got to have a plan, right? Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Let God order your life. Let God help you develop a plan. The steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord. Let God order your life. Let God order your plan. You got to develop a plan. Now, part of that planning is this. Advanced decision making is critical to getting unhooked. As you're thinking about your day, remember, this is something you do every day. One of the things you got to do is you got to foresee what's ahead of you. And you got to think about it because, you know, most of our addictions, we've worked them into our lives and we have a plan for them, right? Maybe we're going to meet up with somebody. A lot of our addictions are built around relationships. That's why next week is probably the most important message in the series. Building your circle of support. Okay? Because most addictions are a team concept. Okay? But a lot of our addictions, we do it with other people. And we got to have other people to help us to get unhooked. Okay? We don't live an isolated life. We've got to build around us people that can help us. Okay? And we got to think about Proverbs 22 and 27 twice. Notice this, twice the same statement's made. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. See, we have to see what's ahead. We have to see the evil so we can hide. So we got to be thinking every day, okay, what's ahead? You know, what's coming up, you know? And get ourselves prepared for that. And part of that is to stay busy. You gotta stay busy because so many times our addictions are because we're just not busy enough. We don't have our lives ordered. We're bored or whatever. Okay, we just kind of naturally turn to that addiction. This happened to David, King David, 2 Samuel chapter 11. Here is King David. And the Bible says in verse 1, it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle. Would you underline that statement? What was the time? See, we're talking about staying busy. The time for David was to be busy. He was a king. And this was a time for kings to go forth to battle. But yet David, got out of it. He sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon. They besieged Rabbah. But underline this, David tarried still at Jerusalem. So what's David supposed to be doing? He's supposed to be busy. He's supposed to be leading his troops. He's the king, but yet he stays back. And the Bible tells us he is tarrying at Jerusalem, and here he is, not doing what he's supposed to be doing. And all of a sudden, this temptation comes. And here he sees this beautiful woman named Bathsheba. And he sees her, and she's out there bathing or whatever. And he sees her, and he uses his power. He says, I want that woman. Go get that woman. And sure enough, he asks his servants to go get her. And the Bible tells us in verse 4, David sent messengers and took her. And she came into him, and he lay with her. He had sex with her. Why? Because what? Not being busy. Stay busy. You say, well, I don't have enough to do. Well, I'm telling you, I am one of the greatest people to help people like you, okay? I mean, I promise you, if you don't have enough to do, you make an appointment with me. I will help you, okay? I will have you so busy, you won't know what to do, okay? I'm serious. I can help you. I can help you fill up your life with some good stuff, okay? Some good stuff. So you got to think about, developing a plan and just making sure you're staying active. And, man, you get so active, listen, you won't have time for that stuff in your life any longer. You understand that? You just start filling your life with wholesome, healthy, positive, wonderful dream things. You don't have time for all that stuff, right? You don't have time for it any longer. Develop a plan. Number 4, back page of my notes, follow a routine. Follow a routine. Now you got your plan. Now you got to start working that plan. And it's got to become a routine in your life. Psalm 40, verse 2 says, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, and listen what God does. He established my goings. I mean, God wants to get you out of that horrible pit of your addiction. He wants to get you out of that miry clay. He wants to set your feet on a rock, and for that to happen, He will establish your goings. He will establish your routine. So what does that mean? Number 1, build a new life one day at a time. Build a new life one day at a time. Just start working that routine. and start building your new life, a life that's free of alcohol, a life that's free of gambling, a life that's free of pornography, a life that's free of spending, and a life that's free of gossip, and a life that's just free. It's free. Just building that new life. That new life that God has for you. And you got to forget what's behind. You can't keep dwelling on the past. I mean, all of us have regrets. I have regrets in my life. You know, but I can't go back, and you can't go back. We got to take the day that we have, and we got to start building a new future for our lives. We got to forget what's behind. We got to reach forth to what is before us. All the time, think about the law of sowing and reaping in relationship to your addiction. See, this is the most powerful law in the world. And if you get this law working against you, it will eat you up. You know, the sowing and reaping law is the most powerful law in the world. It says, whatever you sow, you reap. If you get that thing working against you, it will wipe you out, okay? If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption, it says. And so what you got to realize is, because of your addiction, you very well have sown to your flesh, and you're reaping the corruption. But you know what you can do now? As you are following a routine, every day you're planting new seed in your life. And you know what's going to happen? Eventually, what's going to happen is you're going to have a new harvest. Right now, you've planted all this seed of the flesh, and it's corrupted your life. Your life is a mess. Your life is in total turmoil. But guess what? Now, you have a new day, and you got a new routine, and you just keep planting that good seed, and guess what? You're going to have a better life. Be encouraged, okay? Be encouraged by the fact that every day, just do the right thing today. I'm going to do the right thing today. And you young people, I just want to urge you to realize, man, there's nothing like being young. Because if you do the right thing early in life, you can enjoy it the rest of your life. Man, don't blow off God at this critical time in your life. Because I'm telling you, if you handle those early years of your life correctly, I'm telling you, you're going to have the greatest life in the world, okay? You're going to have the greatest life in the world. You got to start following your routine every day. Say, here's my routine today. Here's my new seed I'm planting today. Here's what I'm going to do today. I've got a brighter future ahead of me, and I'm going to invest in my future today by doing the right thing. Number five, prepare for temptation. Every day you got to get ready. See, I'm telling you, the devil's not happy when you start getting victory. When he sees you starting to get unhooked, man, he is going to turn up the heat. And you got to get ready for that. You got to get geared up for that. You got to do a couple things. Number one, you got to take control of your environment. You got to take control of your environment. You gotta build a better environment. The Bible says in Romans 13:14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You gotta put on Jesus. And you gotta make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You gotta build an environment in your life where you're not making provision for your flesh. Let me tell you one thing that can help you a lot. Music. Music. I believe with all my heart one of the most powerful things in the world is music. It's music. And Psalm 40 verse 2 says that when you get out of that miry clay, that Psalm 40 verse 1 we just read, verse 2, you know what it says? After you get out of that miry clay, God puts a new song in your heart. God puts a new song in your heart. When you get out of that miry clay, you're going to have a new song. And the point is, you got to realize the music you're putting in your life is having a tremendous influence on you. Do you understand that? You know, Pastor Gary, I appreciated his testimony when he spoke a couple weeks ago. And he talked about the music that was in his life. And now he had to destroy all that music. I have the exact same testimony. I was listening to things I shouldn't listen to as a teenager. And when I turned my life over to God, one of the first things I did was I got rid of all that music. Okay, I believe music is powerful. I mean, literally, the first thing I do when I walk in my office is I punch that CD. Okay, and I always have something good going on there. Okay, And I can't really totally concentrate on it, you know, because of my busy life, but you know, it's always there, okay? It's always there, and it's always speaking to me. And you can't fill your life with filth and expect to live clean. And you're out here listening to all this horrible, ungodly, you know, reprobate, wicked, evil music, and what do you think you're going to do? You're going to turn around and live like a reprobate, okay? You know, you listen to all this music promoting, you know, sex outside of marriage and drugs and filth. What do you think? Garbage in, garbage out. Some of you, the most important thing you need to do, you're making provision for your flesh. Do you understand me? Then if I listened to some of that stuff, no telling what I'd be going out and doing, okay? Man, I can tell you, I haven't listened to that garbage since I was 18 years old, and some of those songs still go through my mind. And I am now 30 years old, okay? I'm not kidding you. I have some of those songs pop in my mind, and I go, whoa, baby. It's been 3 decades ago I heard that song. Music is powerful. And you know, Satan's a musician. Did you know that? Read your Bible. Talks about it. He has pipes and all this stuff, you know. He's one crafty dude, okay? He knows the power of music, okay? What kind of music are you listening to? I mean, you listen to music telling you to go have sex, you're gonna be a whore, okay? You understand? You can't put that junk in your life. It's time to clean it up, okay? It's time to clean up your iPod. It's time to clean up your CDs. It's time to change your radio station, okay? It's time to quit making provision for your flesh. You're welcome, okay? I got more to say about that later, so don't miss, okay? I believe it's huge, okay? And you get some good music, get you thinking about the Lord, and get you thinking about Him, and boy, it's powerful. I'm not talking about taking off. I'm talking about putting on, too. You know? No, I'm not just saying get rid of something. I'm saying add something good to your life, okay? And then let the Holy Spirit take control of you. We said it every week, haven't we? Because all you got to do, ultimately, all these other messages aren't even necessary if you really master Galatians 5:16, right? Walk in the Spirit. It's not 12 steps, it's one step, okay? Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Is that anything complicated about that? Okay. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So every day you got to be mindful of the Holy Spirit in your life. Get unhooked from your addictions, folks. The Bible says in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Okay. I've given you the truth today. Now let it set you free. Okay. Let it set you free. What's your next step, okay? What are you going to do next? Take out your connection card, okay? What are you going to do? Again, this is not about information. This is about transformation. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What's your next step? Hey, there's some suggested ones on that card, but there's also one that's wide open. I want to. Four of you said you were going to build one of these dream boards. You know, maybe you don't want an old-fashioned board. Maybe technology. Some of you a computer, whatever, okay? But just something that says, you know what, I want that and not this. Just, maybe that's what you're going to do. Maybe you're going to get rid of some music in your life. Maybe you're going to start having a QT. I don't know what you're going to do. But I know you got to do something, okay, if you're going to get unhooked. So what are you going to do? Just write it down there. Put it in that offering plate. Tell me what you're going to do. So I will pray for you, and we'll try to help you. Whatever you need to do, okay? We'll try to help you. All right. So put it down there, and let me know what God is saying to you today. Father, I love you, and I thank you for your word today. Thank you that the truth that I shared today can set me free and set all of us free. Lord, may we allow that truth to come into our lives. God, may we not be informed today, but may we be transformed. God, do a work in our lives. God, get us unhooked. Help us, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you. We come to you today. We're heavy laden. We need some rest. We need some rest, Lord. God, may we discover that in you today. In Jesus' name, amen.